This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
The House Committee on Appropriations will now come to order. This morning on our agenda, we have some bill hearings. We have four bills, HB 1172, HB 1230, HJR 5003, HB 1281. Before we get started, Madam Secretary, will you take roll?
Bartles.
Here.
Gross.
Here.
Howard.
Here.
Koth.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Post.
Here.
Saba.
Here.
Hanhoff.
Here.
And Carr.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. Thank you, Madam Secretary. And we have some pages with us today. Good morning. I'm going to ask you to come up to a microphone. So I think we're starting our new rotation, right? This is the first day on the job. Welcome. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what are your plans after high school?
Hi, my name is Miranda Cheney, and I am from Platt. I am a senior, and I plan to attend USD for pre-med biology, is what I'm thinking. And then also with that, I plan on going into pediatrics.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Got it all figured out.
Yes.
I'm very jealous.
Kind
Good
of.
For you. All right.
Hello, my name is Ellie Pieper. I'm from Gary, South Dakota, and I plan on going to SDSU for nursing.
Yes!
All right. There you go. Welcome. Thank you for being here. I hope you enjoy your next 2 weeks. I'm sure that your experience in appropriations will probably be the highlight. So, before we get started, I'm going to just take a personal privilege and wish a couple of our appropriators happy birthday. Representative Bartles had a birthday on Saturday. And brought us some spice cake this morning, some leftover spice cake. And today is Representative Peterson's birthday. So happy birthday, Representative Peterson. Yeah. Representative Bartles, what's the key to a good spice cake?
No. The frosting.
Frosting. There you go.
Pinot's frosting.
Is that the key to every cake?
It helps.
Very good. Okay. So we're going to move into our bill hearings. Couple of announcements here. We're going to move HB 1230. We're going to defer that. That is to provide an increased distribution from the Education Enhancement Trust Fund in fiscal year 2021. We're going to hear that tomorrow. That's on the agenda for tomorrow already. And HJR 5003, I believe when we get there, we're going to see an amendment. But we're going to start this morning with HB 1172. I'd ask proponents to Representative Howard. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Representative Taffy Howard from District 33, and I'm here this morning to ask for your favorable consideration of House Bill 1172, which is a bill that makes a minor change to South Dakota Codified Law 4-7-52. Instead of giving JCA the option to request 1 to 3 budget units be zero-based every year, this would annually require between 1 to 3 budget units or departments be zero-based budgeted. According to Investopedia.com, zero-based budgeting is a method of budgeting in which all expenses must be justified for each new period. The process of zero-based budgeting starts from a zero base, and every function within an organization is analyzed for its need and cost. With zero-based budgeting, you build your budget from scratch, with zero being your base. Every expense has to be justified. Some of the benefits of zero-based budgeting include it uncovers waste in the budget. It can lead to increased efficiencies if used correctly. As you're building the budget, you would be analyzing every line item to see if there are ways to save money. We have become ardent fans of the lean process, and for good reason. This is lean for budgeting. It would ensure funds are used where they are needed. It basically right-sizes your budget every time. South Dakota currently uses the incremental method of budgeting. We start the next year's budget with the previous year's budget as your base. Incremental budgeting often leads to a use it or lose it mentality. With incremental budgeting, you start with the assumption that everything from last year carries over. Deep analysis of expenditures is not happening most of the time. With incremental budgeting, you run into cases where, as one example, we had an agency at the end of the year that went out and bought all new flat-screen TVs. They had that use-it-or-lose-it mentality, and they didn't want to revert the funds because they thought they might not get them next year. But did they need those funds the following year? Probably not. But they stayed in their budget and were added on to, thus creating more and more of a cushion in their budget at the taxpayer's expense. Am I saying that all our agencies do that? No. Am I saying that some do allow excess funds to build up and then sometimes use them on items they were not budgeted for? Yes. It does happen, whether we like to admit it or not. And this zero-based budgeting is simply a tool that we can use to help ensure that all tax dollars are spent how they are meant to be spent. Understanding that zero-based budgeting is certainly more time-consuming, this bill only requires between 1 to 3 departments or budget units are zero-based each year. We would never be zero-basing all of DSS or DOE or DHS. We might look at one budget unit in DSS and then select 2 other budget units from other agencies. Or you could just select one budget unit. You know, maybe you're going to look at a budget unit that deals with Medicaid dollars. You're probably just going to want to pick that one. It does not set a schedule. It leaves all that to the discretion of the JCA. LRC and BFM together would come up with a plan for implementing it. And we do currently have some LRC staff with experience in zero-based budgeting. It would be my personal recommendation they begin by talking to state agencies who currently use this method, such as the auditor's office. By involving someone who's currently using this method, it should be relatively easy to come up with a guideline for other agencies to use. Interestingly, 30 other states currently use the same method as we do in criminal budgeting as their primary method of budgeting. 12 states do use zero-based or a modified version of zero-based budgeting as a secondary approach, and that's what it would be for us. It's important to realize that we're not breaking new ground here. LRC as well as BFM would be able to reach out to these other states to see how they implemented zero-based budgeting. We wouldn't be reinventing the wheel, and our staff as well as BFM staff are fully capable of easily handling the implementation of this. I'm confident in them and their abilities. Unfortunately, this is the busiest time of year for accountants, so I was unable to recruit one to come testify, but I thought I would share the comment of one when I asked him what he thought about requiring zero-based budgeting for state government. And he replied, and I am paraphrasing here, that it's good for businesses to use this approach, and it's even more helpful for government agencies to use it, as they, more than private businesses, tend to need it. I.e., they tend to develop more the use-it-or-lose-it mentality. And I can certainly speak from personal experience, just my brief experience in active-duty military and then being married to somebody who still deals with that every year. There is certainly that mentality in the federal government. I know that. And I know that that tends to develop in all government agencies. The statute we currently have, which replaced a much lengthier, more in-depth statute that had been on the books since the late 1970s, but the statute we have has been on the books since 2015. It gives JCA the option to zero base up to 3 departments. This bill requires us to do that. With the sheer number of budget units we have, no one agency will ever feel overburdened. The taxpayers ought to know that we are doing everything we possibly can to ensure that we're not wasting their hard-earned money. Now, I'm going to share some excerpts from an email that I also received from a constituent that works for one of our larger employers in the state. And he said he'd like to follow up on my remarks about zero-based budgeting. As someone who is responsible for budgeting for, and I'm not going to mention the name, but it is one of our larger employers in the state. He says, I can speak to their evolution to that approach. And he goes on to tell the story about how he was zero-basing his portion of the budget, but others were not. And when he brought that up to one of his VPs, he was showing the VP the benefit of zero-based budgeting. And so then the VP decided, well, to implement it throughout. And so now all these other agencies, all the other departments were a little upset, but he was quite happy, and he was commenting on the total accountability that comes from that, and he enjoyed the challenge of that. He went on to say, I'm totally in support of a zero-based budget process for departments that receive South Dakota state appropriated funding. Yes, it can be challenging and time-consuming for department leaders, but the rewards of greater accountability are worth it. Very important to that process are verifiable statistics, extensive decision-maker understanding of how the department functions, and ongoing oversight of how dollars are being used throughout the year. An example of a state that has implemented zero-based budgeting is Georgia. Georgia has roughly 10 times our population, 8.56 million. And every year on their website, and it's a great website, I would encourage you to go on there and look at it, but at least going back to 2013, you can read their Office of Planning and Budget's zero-based budgeting reports. The most recent report shows that they zero-based 10% of all their budgetary programs. The year prior to that, they zero-based 13% of all their budgetary programs. I'm asking that we zero-base three or one to three departments or budget units. To put that in perspective, if we did three budget units, that's 1.57% of our overall budget. And it all also recently came to my attention that the city of Mitchell in our state has implemented zero-based budgeting. Once again, their budget would be larger than, I believe, most of our budget units, if not all of our budget units. So there are plenty of states and locations, cities that they could reach out to, BFM and LRC could reach out to for assistance in setting up the guidelines for proceeding with this. So I would ask for your favorable consideration of House Bill 1172, and I will stand by for further questions.
All right. We'll hear from additional proponents of HB 1172 at this time. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the House Appropriations. I would like to wish my seatmates in Joint Appropriations a happy birthday, and I hope it was a lot of fun, and I really did appreciate the cake you sent me yesterday, so thank you. I'm here today in support of House Bill 1172, and I'm going to talk to you people of this committee as a citizen of the state of South Dakota and you as citizens of the state of South Dakota. I'm going to talk in common words. Zero-based budgeting is a way of budgeting where your income minus your expenses equals zero. With a zero-based budget, you have to make sure that your expenses match your income during the month. That way, you're given every dollar that's coming in to do the job you want it to do. Now, that doesn't mean that you have $0 in your bank account. It just means your income minus all your expenses equals zero. Pretty simple, right? Basically, it's just a plan for your money. I know it's a little more difficult for departments in the state of South Dakota to do that, but I'm speaking to you as just a common South Dakota softball player. Let's say you earn $3,000 a month. Everything you spend, save, give, or invest should add up to that $3,000. My wife and I own a house. We own land. We have to pay taxes, and those taxes every year, give or take a few hundred dollars, go up or stay the same. We budget an account for that. So at the time of the billing of those taxes, we've got the money in that account. And hopefully that account does not go in the red, but at least at zero or maybe a dollar or two more. That way, then you know exactly where every one of your hard-earned dollars is going. You could be setting yourself up for disaster if you don't know where your money is going each month. It's no fun to look up one day and find out you have no money and no clue where it went. So I ask for your favorable support of this bill. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Further proponent testimony. Good morning.
Steve Livermont. I'm a representative from District 27, and I haven't signed in because I didn't plan on talking, but I got prompt to do it. I just listened to you guys. First, I'd like to say in my 4 years that I've been here, I come to admire and respect anybody that's on appropriations. You guys have a special talent and gift to look into this stuff and understand the figures. And I know you guys work hard and everything up here, but basically I'm up here to say me too. I've looked at this zero-based budgeting, and it seems to me like that's a solution to try to figure out how to solve the problem that we got in the state. And the problem that we got in the state is that we have a spending problem, and you guys are the only place that's going to be addressing this. So basically, I'm here to say me too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the compliment. Any further proponents? Further proponents? Seeing no further proponents, we'll open it up for opponent testimony on HB 1172. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Appropriations Committee. My name is Derek Johnson. I'm here today representing the Bureau of Finance and Management, asking you to please oppose House Bill 1172. House Bill 1172 requires the Joint Committee on Appropriations to request 1-3 zero-based budget scenarios annually. The bill restricts the JCA's authority by requiring them to request 1-3 zero-based budget. Currently, JCA can request as many zero-based budgets as they want. What if JCA wants to request 5? What if JCA wants to request 0? This bill limits your authority. Further, zero-based budgeting will not have the desired effect in many, many budget areas. For example, looking at a massive agency, we make a lot of projections and assumptions for things that are somewhat unpredictable. These unpredictable expenses are not things like contracts and travel. These are things like grants to providers for services provided, federal grants received. Zero-based budgeting would force agencies to budget for worst-case scenarios and would increase budgets in many areas. This is in addition to the resource-intensive and costly process of zero-based budgeting those areas of a budget. Another example I would like to use is personal services. In the vast majority of agencies, when we budget for personal services, we typically budget for 5% above the minimum salary for respective positions, and then we add benefits. We do not budget for additional duties. We do not budget for retirement payouts. We do not budget for longevity. Two of the divisions in the Bureau of Finance and Management have more than 30% of their employees eligible for retirement in the next 5 years. We are not budgeted for these large retirement payouts. If or when these folks retire, we may have to hold that position or other positions open for a period of time in order to make things work. Or we will have to look at other ways to make that payment, such as a budget transfer. Zero-basing personal services budgets will often increase budgets. What if there was an agency in state government that was zero-basing their personal services budget? They take all their current employee salaries. They account for any possible promotions. They account for possible retirements. They account for longevity payments. They account for training. The result is likely going to be a reversion of funds. State agencies use many different budgeting techniques, including but not limited to incremental, formula, and zero-based. The governor recommended over $17 million in general fund reductions in the amendment to the FY 2020 general bill, as well as $8.9 million in general funds in FY 2021, plus almost $2.5 million in general funds and FMAP adjustments. In closing, JCA already has the authority to request zero-based budgets where they see fit, and this bill is not needed. Thank you, and I'll stand by for questions.
Okay. Thank you. Further opponent testimony. Additional opponent testimony. Seeing no further opponent testimony, we will move to rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I will just note that I do find it interesting that BFM is opposing us going to the mandatory use of our authority. It appears that they're not opposed to actual zero-based budgeting because they keep reemphasizing that we do have that current authority. So, yes, we do have the authority to use it. I wonder if we were to voluntarily use it, if they would be in here opposing that. But so I do find that interesting. But I'm going to share a little bit more statistics with you. According to an Accenture's 2018 study. Since 2013, zero-based budget adoption has exponentially grown by 57% every year. There are more and more companies and government agencies using this, and that's for a reason, because it helps eliminate waste and discover new efficiencies. Some of the larger companies, Kellogg Company, Ford Motor Company, Campbell Soup Company, all of which would be larger than any of our budget units. According to an article in February of 2019 titled Zero-Based Budgeting for Government Agencies, governments and agencies in the U.S. and Canada have chosen to adopt zero-based budgeting as a tool to analyze programs and services. As a result, those government agencies have been able to determine priorities, streamline programs and services, and reduce costs. BFM would be involved in this process. So, all the concerns that they shared, they would be able to work with LRC and alleviate those concerns. They would be able to address those. We would not be dictating to them how to implement this. It would be up to them to work with LRC and to come up with a framework for implementing that. This is about transparency and demonstrating good fiscal stewardship to the people of South Dakota. This can help realign our resources where they're truly needed and highlight and focus on newer requirements. So I would please ask for your yes vote on this bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We will take committee questions at this time. Representative Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor, if I could, please. So I've got it clear in my mind, if you would. As I understand your testimony, the only thing this bill does is take an optional 1-3 and make it required. Does it, if, first of all, is that correct? And if so, does it do anything beyond that?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
That is, you exactly stated it correctly. So it just is taking the optional to a mandatory and requiring JCA to zero-base budget 1-3 departments or budget units each year.
Follow up, if I may?
Follow up.
And again, for clarification, there's nothing in the bill that says which agencies would be required. It would be at the discretion of the Joint Committee on Appropriations, and theoretically they could start with the, if there is such a thing, easier ones and work up into more complex ones.
Mr. Chair?
Please.
Yes, that is correct. So it would be completely at the discretion of JCA to determine which budget units and or departments they wanted to. So you could definitely start with the easier ones as you work through the process and get BFM and LRC get their feet wet. So,
Representative Peterson first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor, perhaps a follow-up as well. If I heard your numbers right, and correct me if I didn't hear this right, but I think you said there are 32 states that do zero-based budgeting and another 12 that do some form of that as a secondary method or something. So that would be 44 states that are currently doing some sort of zero-based budgeting? Mm. No? Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Please.
There's 30 states that use incremental budgeting. Not all of those. There's a different set of 12 states that use zero-based budgeting as a second. Some of those also use incremental, but there are 12 states total that use zero-based budgeting as a secondary approach. Some overlap, some not. So,
follow up.
Can you speak to why there has been little utilization of the law that we have as it is that is permissive in allowing the JCA to do the budgets, or do you know why there's resistance to that?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
The only resistance that I have found, and as you know, I've been working for this for the last several years, is simply the one time that it was done, if I remember correctly, was Game Fish and Parks many years ago, and people were just inundated with paperwork. That's how they chose to do it. Did they do it on purpose to, you know, make it seem like it was such a difficult process that no one ever wanted to do it again? But the pushback that I repeatedly get is that it's too hard. We don't know how, it's going to be too much work. And my response to that is there are so many government agencies doing this. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can talk to the state of Georgia. We have all the resources through NCSL, the city of Monterey in California, the city of Mitchell. There's a city in, I don't think it's Boulder, but it's one of those cities in Colorado that is zero. So there's so many resources. We would not have to start from scratch. It only has to be as difficult as we make it. So,
additional questions? Okay. And since we're throwing some terms out here, just We've talked about zero base, and you've defined that incremental is when we use a prior period's budget, and then we incrementally add to it with foreseeable expenses or revenues. Representative Bartles, question?
For the sponsor? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Currently, the Joint Committee could implement zero-based budgeting. That's correct, isn't it?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Yes.
And do as many as we want, right?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
Yes.
When was the last time there was a motion in Joint Committee on Appropriations to implement zero-based budgeting?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
We have attempted to do it through a letter of intent the last 2 years, and last year we came one vote shy of implementing it through a letter of intent. So, thus, I'm taking the different approach of going legislatively.
Additional questions from the committee? Okay. Seeing none, we will close public testimony.
Chair.
Representative Bartles.
I'd move this bill to the 41st day.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Representative Bartles to move to the 41st day. Second by Representative Hunhoff.
Mr. Chair.
1 second, please.
Substitute motion.
Representative Peterson?
Yes, substitute motion do pass.
Okay, substitute motion do pass by Representative Peterson, seconded by Representative Post. Any comments on that motion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think that we've heard many of the good reasons to at least start doing this, and the way that it is currently structured in law, we wouldn't take large departments as a whole and attempt to zero-based budget them all in 1 year. We could take pieces and divisions within departments and get our feet wet, and it's structured as a collaborative effort between LRC and BFM, and I just think it would be a really good thing to start implementing and see how it goes and evaluate it as we go. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional comments on the motion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bartles.
I think this is a useless piece of legislation. We have the authority to do this. It's still going to take a vote of the committee to implement it. The only difference is we're going to have to pick three. I think part of the problem on the last vote was the ones that were picked. I think that it's just a useless piece of legislation. The opportunity is there, and would be appropriate to bring that motion at all the meetings of the Joint Appropriations Committee. Going, you know, like prior first interim meeting would be the best place for it. And I think we should stay with the current law. I just don't see any reason to make it mandatory.
Okay. Thank you. Additional comments on the motion? Okay. Seeing none, we have a substitute motion that's due pass. It was moved by Representative Peterson, seconded by Representative Post. This will be a roll call vote. Madam Secretary?
Bartles.
No.
Gross.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye.
Koth.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Post.
Aye.
Saba.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
No.
Carr.
Aye.
We have 6 yeas and 3 nays.
Okay. HB 1172 receiving 6 yeas moves to the floor with a due pass. We're going to move to HB 1230, which I guess I already mentioned we're going to defer. That is a bill that provides for an increased distribution for the Education Enhancement Trust Fund in fiscal year 2021. We'll hear that tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll start at 10 a.m. So we're going to move into HJR 5003. This is a resolution proposing and submitting to the electors at the next general election an amendment to Article 12 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota relating to prohibiting the General Appropriation Bill from reappropriating or transferring funds that are in special funds and establishing rules pertaining to the administration of special funds. Representative Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move due pass on Amendment HJR 5003D, as in Delta.
Okay, we have a motion due pass on an amendment, HJR 5003D, by Representative Howard. It was seconded by Representative Peterson. Comments on that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I still believe in the original intent of the bill as written. However, there were several roadblocks that were being run into that we did not have the time to resolve the issue this year. So I am taking that opportunity then to introduce this amendment, which I would love to have time to discuss with you tomorrow in more detail.
Can you give us just an overview? This is what we'd call a hoghouse amendment. It completely changes the intent of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And what the bill is doing. So, you know, would like just to get a brief overview of what we're amending it to, and then we would, if it's amended and carries, we would defer it to give us some time for everybody to look at it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the bill as written was a proposed constitutional amendment to prohibit the sweeping of funds. But this hoghouse amendment, so basically completely eliminates the original language and inserts new language, which is also a joint resolution. It would go to the voters as a proposed constitutional amendment, and it would create a property tax relief trust fund. And I can go into more details. You know, one of the reasons it has to be a constitutional amendment is to allow our investment council to invest those funds as they do the other trust funds that are established by constitutional amendment. So.
Okay, one second.
Can we take a minute recess?
Yes, we're going to be at ease for just a couple of minutes. All right, the House Committee on Appropriations will reconvene here. We're going to finish handling HGR 5003. There was an amendment, HGR 5003D, moved by Representative Howard, seconded by Representative Peterson. We're in the comments on the amendment, and I'm asking for a brief summary of what this amendment is before we act on it. Representative Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the amendment is a hoghouse amendment. It completely guts the language in the original resolution and inserts language that would establish a property tax relief trust fund.
Okay. So at this time, we have an amendment for HGR 5003. It's known as 5003D. And it's moved by Representative Howard, seconded by Representative Peterson. We are going to do a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Wait. Point of order.
Point of order.
I'm sorry. If we're moving something, we don't even have it. Okay, did you say that?
With our new system, it is online. It went live.
I would appreciate a little further discussion of where it's at. I think even on the floor, they say if it's online or paper.
Do we have further comments then, Representative Hunoff, on this amendment?
Not this online, but I'd like to take a minute to look.
Okay. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to look at this amendment. We're going to be at ease for a few minutes while everybody has a chance to look this up and read it. Okay. House Committee on Appropriations will now reconvene. I believe our committee's had a chance to review this amendment. Again, this is what would be referenced as a hoghouse amendment, so this is different language. That's why we're just taking some time to make sure we understand what's in it. And we're looking for, at this time, I'll still allow for additional comments from the committee. Okay. No comments? Representative Koth, you have a question? Question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Howard, I'm trying to wrap my mind around what might be the fiscal change. I mean, I think I understand what you're doing, or what the amendment is doing. There's a trust fund, but we get into the deep of it. What might be the fiscal changes as we work through budget year every year? Have we done an analysis on that?
And so we will, if this amendment passes, we will defer this bill and have a hearing tomorrow, to a full hearing on the concept of the bill and what's in it, what it would do and not do. But if you need to have this clarified in order to vote on this amendment, then,
Mr. Chair,
yes,
I can wait.
Okay. Additional comments or questions? Okay. Seeing none. Okay. We have a motion to move HJR 5003D. It's a Hog House Amendment by Representative Howard. It's seconded by Representative Peterson. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No.
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 Roll call? Let's do a roll call.
Bartles?
No.
Gross?
Aye.
Howard?
Aye.
Koth?
No.
Peterson? Post?
Aye.
Saba?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
No.
And Carr?
Aye.
We have 6 yeas and 3 nays.
6 yeas. HJR 5003 is now amended with the Hog House Amendment HJR 5003D. Okay. At this time, we're going to defer HJR 5003 as we just amended it and hear it tomorrow. Okay, we're going to move on to HB 1281. Revise certain state post-secondary requirements for dual credit and to make an appropriation, therefore. I believe this bill has been withdrawn. Okay? So no further action needs to be taken at this time. That concludes our business today. We will reconvene as House Committee on Appropriations tomorrow, 10 o'clock in room 362 here. I'd ask for a motion from a committee.
Move to adjourn.
Representative Bartles moves to adjourn. We have a second from Representative Hunhoff. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And we are adjourned.